that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, kind of a solo this morning. We've got, with the holiday, everybody else is kind of out traveling and out and about, so we'll open up the phone lines today, but we do welcome you here. It is Saturday, the last Saturday in November of 2013. Can you believe it? My, how time flies, and how this calendar year of 2013 has just been in overdrive, warp drive, whatever you call it, but here November is all but over. And we go into December of 2013, and then the calendar will flip right over into 2014 before we know it. Well, we are coming to you live this morning from the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And we'll open the phone lines up this morning after a word of prayer and just see how things are going. We'll let everybody be an honorary Radio Ranch Wrangler today and call in on coffee. And we might even pour you a cup if you call in this morning. Well, we do thank you for joining us. We're going to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer because that's the best way to start the day off. And I hope that you have prayed this morning, at least if you're up and drinking your coffee. Hopefully you've at least prayed the Lord's Prayer, giving Him thanks and asking Him to deliver us. And hopefully you've prayed on the full armor of God as well, on yourself and on your family. And hopefully you've prayed for the remnant and for any that may come to mind. That should be part of our daily routine. It's not a burden. It shouldn't be. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. How about that? And I was able to do that this morning before we came on the air. Got up a couple hours ago. So we encourage you to do that very thing. To be in prayer. To pray. The Bible says we're to pray in the Spirit at all times. But when we come out to Him, it is a good thing. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for all that you give us, for the blessings that you've poured out upon us, Lord, for this beautiful day at the Radio Ranch, Lord. The sun once again is coming up behind the mountains, O Father, to the east, and we thank you for it, Lord. We know that you hung the stars that we saw last night, Father, in the sky, and you call them by name, and you cause them to go in the paths that they go. And Lord, you also direct the paths of men according to your will. And oh Father, I thank you for that. I thank you so much. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, so says the Word. And that he did, by being a perfect sacrifice, unblemished, with no sin. But yet he became a curse for us. And he took that sin from us and redeemed your people Israel. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for the founding of this once great Christian nation, founded by your people. We thank you for that, O Lord. We know that we have strayed, just like we've done all throughout your word, O Lord, all throughout the history that you've given us. But Lord, you have your remnant. You have those that you have called, that you have opened the eyes of and opened the ears, and are continuing to do so, Father. And Lord, we don't look to strength of man. We don't look to swords. We don't look to a new government party to save this land. But Lord, we look to you. We look to you. And we know that it is because of our sin that has caused the crime and the thievery and all the problems, the sickness that's in the land, O Lord. It's our fault. It's because of our sin, because we've turned away from your word. But Lord, we know that when we repent and fall on bended knee and return to you and cry out to you, that you hear our cries. And that when we do that, that you will come and heal the land. And so we do that, Lord. We say, forgive us. Guide and direct us down your path, O Lord, your narrow path. We thank you, Lord. I ask for your blessings on this broadcast today, Lord. Let it be a blessing to your people. Thank you for this time of fellowship, O Lord, to sit and have coffee. And we ask you to join us. Join us and join the remnant, Lord, from sea to shining sea, as we have fellowship this morning. Let it be a sweet fellowship among us and among us with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Saw some news reports that Black Friday, they report that it's good for the economy, that the stores sold a bunch of junk. I stayed home on Black Friday, was over here at the office yesterday and working on the newsletter a little bit, and had time to spend with the family, and so I stayed out of the stores. I hope that you did as well. I hope that you did as well. Well, I'm going to go to a song by Mike Platt J and see if I can call up Brother Tim and get him on the line, and we'll talk about a few things. Hope you like this song by Mike Platt J. Some great words from a great minstrel. We'll be back right after this.
Life without love, it's like dying a slow, painful death. It can take the very life out of someone, right down to their last breath. Yet with your hand in mine, in the darkest of times, your love light shines right straight. never known that kind of love that's faithful and true. Oh, I've had my good times, and I've had my bad times, and all those times when I was so blue. Yeah, my life wasn't worth living, Lord, until the day I found you.
You out there, folks, but I can sure say a hearty amen to that one. Mm. And good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Richard. I hope you had a happy and blessed Thanksgiving.
We did. We just kind of laid around, I don't want to say laid around the house. We did a little bit of everything. Got some firewood cut and put up, and of course the women were cooking just about all week and all day, and we're still eating on turkey and Thanksgiving and stuffing but we did. We had a blessed day and enjoyed the time together. How about you guys?
It's nice to all get to be around together and get to see the family members that you don't always get to see spend some time with each other. Yeah, we had a wonderful time. We really did. Still really kind of are. We still got people here, and like you said, we're, I don't know, calling Thanksgiving dinner leftovers is just almost an abusive word for it, isn't it?
It is. You see, you hear so much on the radio about what to do with the leftovers and stuff. You know, we just eat them. We just warm
them
up.
And
that's what we did yesterday. We just warm them back up. And my son George he was wanting that stuffing again. That was his favorite. So he was coming back for stuffing and And mine was I smoked a turkey, and it was just so moist and had just a good smoky flavor. That was my favorite to go back to.
But you know, I like those turkey sandwiches.
I'm looking forward to that today. Yesterday was just, you know, turkey by itself again. But yeah, today will be the turkey sandwich day, and I'm looking forward to that. And you know, we did just as we were gathered around the food, and we did share with the family, you know, the part of the true Thanksgiving story. You know, Thanksgiving comes from the time in 1621 when the pilgrims had come through a rough winter, but they did have an abundance of food, and so they threw a party, and about 90 Indians showed up. Of course, they brought food as well, and then it goes from there until, you know, they got more settlers that came in with no more food, and by the end of that next winter, that 1621-1622 winter, that was called the Starving Winter. And although none of them died that year, they were down to having what they had to get them through that winter was their faith in God and their knowing that God had brought them here and that God had not abandoned them. But they were down to 5 kernels of corn a day per person. And that's what they had. And you know, we didn't get into it a whole lot. We're going to try to be reading The Light and the Glory again this winter as a family. But, you know, that was the hardships that our people had to go through. And their faith in God was strengthened. And even though they were all but starving, they knew. I think that their faith was strengthened and that they knew that God would see them through it. And he did. And then that next year, 1622, they got away from their communistic, you know, communal garden type thing, and basically started in this country for the first time the free enterprise system that our economy has been based on just about since then, and you know, they planted their own garden, and. You know,
kept the fruits of their own labor.
Fruits of their own labor, they did. And so, now they also had the community garden that they would work in a little bit, but most of it, it was up to their own to whether they made it or not, and they made it.
Oh, and those with abundance shared with their fellow family members and friends. And
they did.
And that's kind of another thing that I always see Thanksgiving as being about is not a competition to see who can have the most people or anything else. It's an opportunity to share with, you know, fellow believers and with family members and friends, and show the abundance. If you want to show something off, it's an opportunity to share the abundance.
Right. It's a boasting in the Lord, as the Bible says, that if we're to boast, we're to boast in the Lord, and it is to share with the abundance that he's given us. And, you know, if you look around all in our... mainly in our country, but also in other European nations, at the time of Thanksgiving, you know, it's mainly an American holiday. But you see here what so many Americans do, and it is they open up soup kitchens and they have Thanksgiving dinners and stuff for those that are less fortunate, you know, and they serve. And, you know, no, we're not perfect, but... you look at that in this nation, and you just don't see that in other nations. That's another mark of Israel, of taking the abundance that we have, even in this Egyptian Babylonian captivity that we are in. We have abundance, and it's in it's just in the national consciousness. It always has to share that with those that are less fortunate. It's a biblical concept. You know, it just shows, you know, and it does come from the year 1623. On Thursday night, I talked about, Pastor's little treatise called Thanksgiving, the True Story. That is a good little, you know, six or eight page summary of the true Thanksgiving. And, And it quotes William Bradford saying, "The yield that year was so abundant that the Pilgrims ended up with a surplus of corn, which they were able to use in trading that winter with northern Indians who had not had a good growing season." And the Pilgrims persevered, they kept the faith, and God blessed them for that. They had their enemies had been driven out before them, and there's quite a story for us to go back and look at the true Thanksgiving story, to see what really happened, to read in the words of Bradford and people that were there that wrote about it, not the modern day Common Core history books.
Right.
No, that's not where you're going to get the true Thanksgiving story. But so again, Thursday night I kind of promoted the book, The Light and the Glory, and I think we have it for $22. It's a new print, a hard print, hardback book, and it shines light on the true Christian history and founding of this nation. And you can read in there about the Mayflower Compact, how they covenanted together for the first time since Mount Sinai to further the Christian religion. And you know, when you go back to the roots, you go back to the why. Why was this nation founded? Why did people come here? Why? It was to further the Christian religion.
I put the plug in. It wasn't the Catholic religion.
No, it was not. You can see that up until and to the point that the first openly Catholic president wasn't elected until 1961, when President Kennedy was.
Yeah.
It was the Christian religion. Catholic. Very good.
Not
point.
Buddha.
Not Hinduism. Not Shintoism. Not atheism. Not Judaism, which denies Christ, but Christianity, which preaches from the Word, and that was the purpose. Now, you jump a few hundred years ahead to yesterday, and you know they don't call yesterday White Friday. They don't call it Good Friday. That word's already taken. That term is, you know, they call it Black Friday. And I understand the economics of it. It's when, so many retailers have to, you know, they'll do so well that that'll take them out of the red of being in a deficit to being in the black and maybe making money or showing a profit or something like that. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You believe that if you want to, folks. It's Black Friday because it's a black spot on this once Christian nation that the people can't even wait until the Thanksgiving Day is over. They have been so programmed to in this mob mentality to rush to the stores and to buy more junk, more trinkets, more and it's more and more just of the electronics that are obsolete next year. And I saw a few news reports this morning. You know, I'd seen some on, I just checked the news on the computer on Fox or The Blaze and a few places like that. And they said the economy looked good. The retailers were saying they did well. You know, they did well. People are spending money that they don't have, I might add. And, the credit cards are ringing up and they seem to be happy, but boy, I also saw the videos of the fist fights in the malls and the knockdown dragouts of, and I'm not just going to say our people, but the people here in America that, again, sure, have this mob mentality, that have given in to, you know, the gimme, gimme, gimme. I want a little bit more. I need a bigger TV. You know, my 32-inch isn't big enough. I need a 50-inch. And, you know, that video game I got's not enough. I need another one. And that smartphone I got, that iPhone 4, no, I need an iPhone 5. And more, more, more. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And if it's on sale, I want it.
Yeah, it's got to be worth buying. It's on sale.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think a lot of times of that Black Friday being, it's a religious event to the unknown God, or the I'm always reminded of the unknown God that they spoke about in the New Testament.
Yes.
And the monuments to that, and you have Black Friday, and it has all the elements of a high holy day for those small g gods, because you have people there that sacrifice money. I mean, you know, they
yes.
every god you worship costs you something, so you're paying that has a sacrifice involved. I mean, they've arranged that. Look at the people that die there, or the people that sacrifice financially, or the people that will go out and my daughters were telling me that there were people camped out Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving, if you can imagine it, in the
yes.
afternoon at some of these places.
Yeah,
they
to be first in line at Best Buy to get that
yeah.
iPad, you know, for $50 off.
And there's people that are trampled to death and die,
yes.
You know, in this mad rush for the rewards that this philosophy offers. I mean, you know, those things are all about there. And as far as these corporations making a black profit on that day, like you were saying, you know, if they can make it all in one day, can they not spread it out a few days across the year and make it without endangering people or without, I mean, to
yeah.
me that seems like a poor management skill.
And I think that it's just, you know, that it was like that at one time, but I think it's like the supply and demand economics. You know, it's something that's taught, it's something that's put forth, but I think there's very little truth to it. I think that that's what they say.
Yeah.
But, you know, if your business is set up that way, well, and the Bible talks about it, you know, that those that got drunk with the whore of Babylon, that dealt in her dealings and supported her and all that stuff, you know, they eventually all die off and fade away. You know, they do,
yeah.
but it is, you're right. That's not, you know, the way we think, that's not the way to run a business. But
no.
we're not running those businesses. And we have to realize that those people that are, maybe not the local owner, but the corporations and the big wigs that are behind them, that's how they think. You know, they look at us, we have to remember, they call us goyim. They call us cattle.
Yeah.
And you know, we when we sort calves off and when we run cattle and when we do things, we do it not what's, you know, in a way what's best for them, because we want them healthy. We want them to bring a good price when we take them to market, or we want them to, you know, be healthy and produce another calf and that type thing. But you know, it's on our schedule. We run them, for the most part, you know, how we want to. And you know, the rancher down the road, he runs his the way he wants to. And
if you look at some of those pictures of Black Friday, it sure looks like they're running down the chutes in the alleys.
Oh, it is.
It absolutely is.
I remember last year the Walmart guy that was trampled to death when they opened the door, and I haven't heard of any of those yet this year. But it is. It's just utterly ridiculous. The people that do that. And I wanted to contrast that, and we'll open the phone lines up. People, it's about halfway through the program this November 30th morning with Brother Tim on the phone, and we're here at the Radio Ranch coming to you live this morning, and just talking a little bit about Black Friday. But we'll have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. Let me get the buttons pushed here. So this Black Friday, this got to have more, spin. We become, you hear it on the other talk shows, we're a consumer society. We're no longer a productive society. You know, we work to get money to buy junk that's made in China, to pile up and just to have more and more and more. You know, the days of us producing something are all but gone. You know, they're all but gone. You know, the Detroit, which has a higher crime rate than Afghanistan does right now, a higher death rate. You're safer to be a Marine walking through Afghanistan with snipers and IEDs and all that than you are to be walking down the streets of Detroit. Detroit used to be used to have the highest per capita income in the whole country.
Yeah.
But that's before we were conquered. And this consuming, just have to have more and more, this attitude, people, it's wrong. It's the wrong attitude. You know, and Remnant, we just use this as a reminder to you and hopefully to give you tools and help and being able to witness to others that this very thing is just wrong. I want to go to Ephesians 4, and I want to read in, I think that's where I want to be. Nope, it's Philippians 4. I'm close, though, because it's just a couple pages over. And I see we got a caller there, and caller, I'll get right to you. But Philippians 4, and I wrote down Philippians 4, but I turned to Ephesians. Philippians 4, and it's under the heading of Think of Excellence. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That's verse 4. And verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. And this is it. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Now, Tim, that tells me to be anxious for nothing.
Exactly.
And it goes on and says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And see, our people haven't done that. And their hearts and their minds have been taken over by this, gotta camp out on Thanksgiving and get that iPod first thing, you know, Black Friday. And it's not even in the morning anymore. They open up on Thursday evening now. And I just, these verses just seem to me to be in direct opposite of how our people are today. But we have to, this is what we have to return to. We have to return to this, you know. Anyway, well, let's go to the phone lines and maybe we'll get to come back to that. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Timmy from Maine.
Good morning, Tim.
Wranglers, if the American Sheeple didn't celebrate that high pagan holy day of Christmas, we wouldn't have Black Friday, and they wouldn't desecrate a truly American Christian holiday of Thanksgiving, which is actually celebrated 1 month earlier. Black Friday yesterday was an absolute abomination. I mean, nothing is really sacrosanct in this country. And I was listening to another broadcast, and the caller was right. A lot of these retailers are, yeah, foreign stockholders are owned by foreign interests, and they just dislike America. They dislike America and its true tradition, especially Christianity. They just wanted to defile this country. As long as we celebrate this pagan holiday of Christmas, we're going to reap all these other curses.
Amen. We've become like all the other people and then come up with some of our own. That's for sure. That's for sure. Good point.
And this is and this is rampant materialism, and that fits into a communist pattern too. You'll notice a lot of the big boxes and major retailers support a lot of leftist and antichrist causes too. It's no coincidence,
right? And you know, it's interesting, Tim. You didn't see that even, dare I say, 10 years ago. You didn't see them even in the Clinton administration. You didn't see all these big corporations, all the rampant Hollywood support, and Nike just came out. They're out in Oregon, and they just came out. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. They're putting like $1 million toward this political action committee to further same-sex marriages out in Oregon and across the country. Nike, and you know, it's what they do. You know, and but we didn't see this just a few years ago. You know, and to me, it's more signs that the time of harvest draws near. The tares, if you remember that parable, at the time of harvest, the tares are standing up straight and tall and proud and haughty, whereas the wheat are all bowed down. And you know, I don't know about you guys, but in talking to the Remnant, you know, the wheat are, and Timmy, I know you've had a tough go of it this year. You know, we are bowed down with not only with the burden of gathering more straw and making more bricks, but the burden of the sighing and the groaning at all the abominations that are going on. But the enemies of God, they're standing up. They want to be associated with each other. They want everyone to know that they support the filth that's in the land. And they support getting God and Jesus Christ out of any and every aspect of American life. They want everyone to know that. And that is growing and growing. And I think it just shows that the time of harvest draws near.
There's no class or dignity or respect. Look at the people driving around in SUVs, especially luxury ones. What escalates? That was even unheard of 15, 20 years ago. People drove cars. They drove station wagons. They need cargo space. They drove around in vans.
Yeah, station wagons aren't cool anymore, though. You know, you got to have a...
No, SUVs are.
Right,
They have no class or dignity or respect. Right.
Tim, I'll tell you, I've got one of those SUVs. It's a 2000...
Yeah, I'm not mocking
I know, I'm just saying, but I've got, I fill it up with children when we were running around and stuff, so... Well, Tim, I appreciate the call this morning. I see the other line ringing.
Brother.
I'll try to take that. You have a great week, Tim. All right, good to talk to you.
Yeah.
And we'll... take this caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, this is Nancy in Southern Illinois.
Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. I just wanted to make the comment that would you say that this is a prime example of they worship me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me?
Oh, absolutely.
As far as Thanksgiving goes, you know,
I think
their heart really isn't in it.
Right. And it's that way, I think,
for a lot of people.
Nancy, I think that way for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, this whole season, it is. They worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, absolutely.
Yeah. I've been looking in the Bible, and I can't find it anywhere, but I've read it in the past, and it talks about a day set aside, as his word says, sanctify or prepare or proclaim a day of Thanksgiving. And I can't find it anywhere, but I know I've read it.
Well, I mean, if it's the in the New American Standard or the King James that actually uses the word Thanksgiving, yeah, I'm not sure. I know that we read it here in Philippians, but
I know in Isaiah it talks about when you enter into thy gates, have a day of thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if that's talking about, when his kingdom is set here on earth and he's here, and or if
I don't
that's
know.
Now.
I know Ezekiel talks about sanctify my Sabbaths and many times throughout that's part of our history was, when God gave us a new land and a place to go and cast out the evil ones before us, he would give us. Usually there were two things that went along with it. One was that very thing: sanctify the land, set aside a time to remember me, he would say, and don't become like the evil people that I'm driving out before you.
Right.
Those were usually the two things that we were to do, and the pilgrims did that. They set aside when they called for fasts, they prayed, and they did that. They set aside this day that we now have as Thanksgiving, as a day to thank God for the blessings that and for the deliverance that He provided to them. And
that book that you've been talking about, The Light and the Glory, I read that last year.
Yeah.
And I went back into it, during this time, and just going over him and through it again, and it talks about, they're praying to God on the day that they set for Thanksgiving, and saying all kinds of prayers and worshiping him and praising him. And how many people do that today,
Not enough. Not enough.
Yeah.
So, well, Nancy, thanks for your call.
Really,
we're going to... Yeah, it is. It is. I'm glad you mentioned that to everybody. Well, thank you for your call. We'll try to get this other caller on while we still have a little time.
Okay. All right. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Take care.
And, you know, Tim, it's encouraging to me to know that there is that remnant out there that do still pray to God, that do still, you know, give him thanks.
Yeah.
It is. It's
that
encouraging.
That are concerned about it. They want to do the right thing.
Right.
And are
right.
looking for the truth.
Sure. It's those people that have that mark of Christ, you know. It is. That's that mark of Christ that they see the evil that's in the land, and they're crying out about it, you know, that, hey, it shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be this way. Well, let's go to the phones. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard. Tom in Texas.
Good morning, Tom. And how are things in Texas?
It's a little cold this morning. Cold for here, anyway. It got down to 33, but that's not that's warm to you. up in Wyoming, Colorado.
It is.
I was watching some of the videos on YouTube about all the craziness of people going in stores and fighting, and you know, I've heard people being shot for their TV stolen or stabbed or some kind of assault, you know, just for the latest trinket. And it used to be in the old days, you know, the Chinese sailboats, they had the little fin sails.
Yep.
Looking up, they were called junks.
Junks.
And now
that's right.
Now everything the Chinese ship over is junk.
Yep.
At least some things were made in Japan, they had better quality. I've looked at some of the toys or even some of the electronic stuff. You can compare the difference in quality of stuff. I'll take a vehicle made in Japan before I take one made in China.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Tom, you mentioned that. You know, the vehicles anymore, the Fords and the Chevys and the GMs, they're made in either Canada or Mexico. And the mm-hmm. Toyotas and the Hondas are put together in Tennessee.
I have a Toyota, and it was made in Honshu, Japan. That's why I went and bought it, decided that's what I wanted. I was like, I want it made in Japan with Japanese hands. Just, you know, yeah, we've been this country's been conquered. And
it has.
The work ethic has slipped a great deal in this country, as if it wasn't the apathy wasn't apparent otherwise in people's attitude or in the craziness that's going on in stores. I got to go get groceries. I kind of shudder to go into the store today. And but the only good thing that actually came out of China is their AKs and SKSs.
I thought that might come up. Amen. So, yep.
The Chinese even managed to screw up SKSs when they started making them with stamped receivers and pinned-in barrels. They're definitely they skimped on quality there.
Yeah, imagine that.
Donk.
So. Well, Tom, good to talk to you this morning. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I see the phone line's ringing. We'll try to get this other caller as well. Appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.
All right. Tim, the phone lines are ringing up down here like a Christmas tree here. Good morning. It is. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard, is this me?
Yeah, that's you.
Hey, this is Mark in Ohio.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Let me pour you a cup. Here we go. I got a fresh pot of coffee on here, and you sound like you could use a little cup of coffee this morning.
Oh, yeah.
How are things going in Ohio?
Pretty good. Weather's good. Hey, I was just calling about I just want to make a comment about Nancy's call. I think if you would, I don't know exactly where it is either, but I kind of know what she's talking about. If you just get in the concordance and look up feasts, you'll find that the Lord said, these three feasts shalt thou keep unto me as a memorial forever. And it turns out, one, if you study them a little bit, one is the tithe, one is Thanksgiving, and the other one is Passover. And so that's kind of interesting that those three feasts, he says, that thou shalt keep unto me forever.
How about that? That is.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
So.
And, you know, if you look at it, this nation has done that, you know. This mm-hmm. nation has done that, or at least did that. How about that? Did that as they came in and found, and the nation was founded by Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They did that.
Yep. Well, I thought that was pretty interesting that, you know, that is, you know, Passover for sure, we know that. But then one turns out to be the tithe and how important that is. And then the other day is actually a Thanksgiving day unto the Lord.
How about that?
But that's all I got.
Appreciate it, Mark.
You guys have a good day, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks. You too. All right.
God bless. Bye.
And we'll stay with the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. It's Kevin in Ohio.
Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, you two.
Good morning, Kevin.
I hope you stay warm in there with plenty of Java. I have something for Nancy in Illinois. She can look at 2 Corinthians, like 10 through 12, roughly. It's not exactly, but it does lend a little bit towards the Thanksgiving for actually physical things, too. I want to make a comment.
Sure.
How come they haven't figured out that it's a big racist term to call that Friday Black Friday?
Well, because when they call it, it's okay. It's just when we use that term. That's like, I saw a thing, I don't watch TV, but I was in a place not too long ago, and they had the TV on, and they were talking about it was some black athletes, and they were saying, you know, what they're trying to do is, they don't like to have the N-word out in public. You know, you can talk to Paula Deen about that, and she can tell you, you know, how that is, and even if you use it in a term when a black individual sticks a gun in your face to rob you, that's still not a time to use that word. But if you're Hollywood or if you're a black, they use that N-word with each other. And this thing I saw on the news is, you know, they're trying to get the athletes and the sports in this nation to stop using the N-word. And there was some Charles Barkley, or I don't know who it was. I don't think it was him. But some black athlete. And he said, listen, he said, if I want to use the N-word with my N-words, I'm going to do that. You know, basically said, if I want to call my nigger friends nigger, I'm going to call them nigger. And you're not going to tell me what to do or what not to do. And I just use that as a quote. But, you know, I think that it shows, you know, there's a double standard. And we have to remember that as white Christian Americans. There's a double standard, you know, and I think that's that's what applies there.
I agree with you. It's the standard is weaponized standards, and they pick and choose. But isn't it rather a resemblance of inner city life to call a special day where hordes run out chasing things for nothing? I mean, it's almost like a distribution day. The banana boat showed up or something. I don't know what to say. But there is an awful mentality. I don't have TV for 20 years now. I saw one last week for about 30 minutes, and it was a cop show. And they were showing downtown cities where they were picking up, just through like in this half hour, like 3 or 4 of these episodes where live cops go out and pick people up for things. And to see the white people there in downtown Indianapolis, downtown other big cities in this country, there is no difference. It's all adopted. It's fed down to where our folks, I don't want to say that nowadays, really, are imitating you-know-what. I better leave it at that and say God bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin. Well, and
it's
a critical hypocrisy, and if you don't identify the hypocrisy around you, you're doomed to partake in it. You know, I mean, that's
right.
We're told to be on our guard against that, and if we don't call it out, I mean, sometimes we, granted, in our spiritual walk, we may not be mature enough to recognize it for what it is, but if you do recognize it, and if you don't say anything about it, and if you don't identify it, you become a partaker in it, you know. So it's, if through no other means, then just by default.
Right.
If you won't stand against it, then you're swept away by it. So,
right. Amen.
I'm encouraged when I hear all these calls because I see people here who are going against the flow as far as these items go. You know, I mean,
amen.
It's like we were talking about there, Richard, as far as the Black Friday goes. You know, they can't do anything with Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving is one of those times when they've tried to make it about the turkey, and they've tried to make it about the feast in itself, but God's people, that's not enough. They fill it up with the very word Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to who, you know? And And even if they don't have everything right, they're still on their knees, or they're still thankful, or they're still
right.
thinking about Thanksgiving just by the very name of it. And I don't know about you, but we noticed that right after the high holy day of Thanksgiving there, or right around that time, they were already putting Christmas stuff in the stores. I mean,
oh, you hear the songs on the radio.
Yeah, and I know that you look at that, and you know they skip right up. They really just want to You can tell by the very actions they have. They really want to just totally remove Thanksgiving. They'd like to just skip right over that
right.
to Christmas. You know,
yeah.
Let's
go back to the phone lines. I don't mean to cut you off, Tim, but the phone lines got two lines ringing here. We'll take one of them. First, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, my name is Tim from Michigan.
Good morning, Tim from Michigan.
Hi, Tim.
It's a Tim day for sure today.
Yeah. I called you people in 2008. I had a problem with epilepsy. And Pastor Peters and you people prayed over me, and I haven't had too much problem since it's been over 5 years now.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
for that.
Report.
Amen.
I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Like, Bud, I know it's been mentioned a few times. What happened after the second century with Christianity? I don't know if there you have a book or a tape on it.
Well, you mean as far as the heresies that came in and stuff like that?
Like the Jews took over.
Yeah, it's now, Tim. That's not like one of those questions that you can answer in 2 minutes. I don't think.
No, I was just saying if they had a tape or a book on it or something.
Yeah, I know the pastor's addressed it in the past, and I know one book that we carry that comes to mind is a Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs, and it was put together by I think it's Bricot, and he quotes a lot of the early Christian fathers that are in the first. 100 or so years after the time of Christ, and you can see after that time, after about that couple hundred years, I think what happened is you had the basically they formed the Catholic faith,
that's where
a big shift is, and so you have true Christianity. And then you have these that made the Saint Peters and the Saint this and the Saint that, and it was even within a couple hundred years you saw this falling away, and this shifting from the teachings of Christ. We have His Word today. He is our intercessor between us and God the Father. We need no Pope. The Bible says, "Call no man father." In any type of church role and things like that, and so I think that's a quick summary of it, Tim, is that we have what today is the Catholic faith, and that was a falling away from true Christianity, and we see what it's built into now, this worldwide religion that now we see is embracing the Muslims and everybody else. And that worships Mary instead of Christ.
It was mentioned they killed off the Christians after the second century, or a lot of the notable.
Well, they tried to.
Christians.
They tried to, and the more they killed, the more it grew. It really did.
Persecution was actually. And the other thing that, if you go back into that Catholic faith in the early centuries, Tim, one of the things that I find really interesting, and I've done a little study into it. Is the fact that the big Twinkie or the big thing that they wanted to get rid of was baptism. I mean, and that was really the parting of the ways, was the Catholic faith brings about the forgiveness of sins through the power of man. It's basically a humanist philosophy. You have people worshiping Mary, you have people asking for forgiveness of their sins to the potentates or to the fathers of, quote-unquote, of the Catholic Church, and the real dividing line was the baptism issue. I mean, you had to. So from there, that was where the like the Bible says, the sheep and the goats were separated. I mean, they went the one way, and the true believers continued to follow the mandates of Jesus Christ that are so carefully laid out in the Bible. So And they've really gone out of their way to try to distort that history, too. It is difficult to find.
It is.
Yeah, because we stop at the first century with the Bible, and you wonder what happened after that.
Yeah. Well, and the word was away from the people for so long, you know, up until the time of the printing press. And, you know, when the printing press came out, and, you know, that didn't come out in the Sudan. Imagine that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in Nairobi that they came up with the printing press. You know, they were still beating on drums. But you know, the first book that was printed was the Bible, and that was the purpose of the printing press, was to get the Word of God to the people. And, you know, that's where a lot of the martyrs come from in later years, it was you know, those that did that. So, well, Tim, I hope that kind of at least starts it. Do you have our office number? I'd be glad to give it to you if you want to call sometime during the week. And, you know, maybe we could help you with this a little further.
Okay.
It's same area code, 307-742-7582. And that's the office number. We're usually up there about 8 to 4, 8 to 5, something like that. And but we'll be in next week, and just give a call sometime, and we'll see if we can maybe direct you down a path or two.
Okay, appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
And thank you.
I think, Tim, we might have. We've got a couple minutes left. Caller, the last caller we'll get to take today. We've got about a minute, but welcome to
Coffee. Oh, dear, Richard. Well, great to be here listening to you guys today. This is Andre in Connecticut.
Good, Andre.
They started 10 days before Thanksgiving here in my neck of the woods with Christmas stuff and Santa Claus junk and all this sort of thing. They're getting ready for the next big push. They want to race through these things and push the next big economic windfall for themselves.
Yeah.
And they ignore everything. But I finally yesterday managed to go down and get myself a haircut. Which was sorely needed. And thank the Lord, I've been so busy, I haven't had time to do this for the last 7 or 8 weeks.
Well, that's great. That's good to hear.
Well, it's been a really good season for me. And I happily put my ties in the hail yesterday and got my hair cut. And while I was waiting for Tommy to get me in line there, I picked up these New York rags and looked at them. The first cover in the first three pages is all photographs showing the great celebration on Fifth Avenue with the floats and the Spider-Man balloons and all these demonic cartoon critters floating in the air and everybody acting like a jackass. Yay, and then, yeah, it's nonsense. It's just like this Saturnalia of celebration of all these cartoon characters and such, and just one big turkey floating along. It had some bearing somewhere vaguely to do with Thanksgiving, but the rest of it was all this commercial nonsense.
Yeah.
And they were so worried about the wind, like, you know, whether it would calm down or not, and I was praying for a tornado, you know.
Amen.
But anyway, and I got home and I attacked a wood pile I haven't been able to get to for the last couple of months.
Well, good.
Just in case I need some wood later. But I was thanking the Lord that I have so much wood that I think I'm going to be fine this winter, no matter how hard it gets. And,
well, that's great. That's great to hear. Well, Andre, sure good to hear from you. We're just out of time, but have a blessed weekend. And
it should be a two-hour wrangler.
Well, maybe next week we can swing that.
See if you can push it along into 2 hours on Saturday morning.
All right. Well, good to talk to you, Andre. Nice. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, have a good day.
All right, you too. Well, Tim, we're out of time. Thanks a lot for joining us, Tim. Thanks for being in with us. And Remnant, come to church with us tomorrow. ScripturesForAmerica.org.
Wealth and home. The job you thought you'd retire with, closed up shop or moved abroad. The little wealth you had stashed back disappeared, and you don't know where it went. And the children you loved and nurtured now have turned from truth and live their life in sin. Blame God. He's the one that brought it all to bear. Blame God. If the life you thought was yours is now not there,